We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Six Knicks in double figures, including three off the bench. R.J. Barrett leading the way with 32. R.J. 7 of 8 from downtown as the Knicks are going to end their three-game losing streak. And the Spurs, their second consecutive defeat, as Thibodeau and Popovich come together and shake hands, work together with U.S. national program. A lot of respect for one another.
Yep, you see it there.
All righty then. It's more like it. You know what? I know people come here for the hard-hitting basketball analysis. So I'm going to start this post-game live stream with a little known basketball fact about something that often, it's not talked about much, but it often ties in directly with wins and losses. And it is this: if you make shots, you tend to win. You can look it up. There's a lot of precedent. You have to dig for it, but it's there. I'm being a little bit facetious because obviously they have their better efforts of the season. They gave up 109 points to San Antonio, but I think the defense was a little bit better tonight. At the end of the day, it helps when you make 47% of your threes on nearly 40 attempts. That's when you have evenly matched teams, which more than half the teams in the league are evenly matched right now. That's pretty big one. And I just tweeted out the Knicks' last 9 games before this one. I mean, they kind of go as their shooting goes, which again is the case for a lot of teams in this league. We have a lot to talk about tonight. I want to hit on several players before we get to the super chat. The first one obviously is R.J. Barrett. So R.J. Barrett's final stat line: 32 points on 20 shots. He was 7 of 8 from downtown. This is a guy. Has he hit 7 threes in the last month? I don't know. But he was 7 of 8 from downtown tonight. Had 5 rebounds, a couple assists. He was obviously the Knicks' leading scorer. Played 39 minutes. Good defense. And I'm gonna read. I'm gonna read our pinned comment here. Shout out to Prize Picks. Yes. So for anybody who missed this, Andrew Claudio did indeed go with the reverse jinx tonight, and he picked under R.J. Barrett points in our Prize Picks. Promo code Film School for anybody who's not in on it yet. He did that once before over the last, I don't know, however many games we've been doing this, and the Knicks won, and R.J. played a good game, and sure enough, tonight it happened again. So thank you, Andrew, and thank you, R.J. Barrett, for showing up. It's a lot easier to win basketball games when you're starting wing, the guy who supposed to be the second best player on this team, a guy who figured, to be not an all-star this year, but at least like in the conversation, so to speak, all of those things. He showed up tonight, and it was really great to see R.J. Barrett show up. And like, I don't know where this season's going to go. I this team is still a very uneven team, and we'll see where, we'll see where they are. Hold on, turn my light off for half a second. we'll see where they are moving forward in terms of can they get the center position sorted out. We're going to get to that in a second. Do they have another trade in them? Like all that stuff. But I wonder if this isn't the game, and more specifically, if the press conference after the Nuggets press conference isn't something we look back on later in the year as something of a turning point. I made my thoughts very clear over the last several days in writing and in podcast form that I thought Tibbs chose his words very carefully. I thought he was calling out RJ Barrett. And, you know, it's interesting that this is how RJ Barrett responded. To was it a slight? Was it not a slight? Maybe we'll never know. Either way, 32 points, 7 of 8 from deep is pretty good. You know, I almost feel bad that RJ is the lead story because while it was great to see him hit those threes, by and large, the rest of RJ's game tonight was more, you know, was pretty much what we've been seeing. Had some uneven moments around the rim. That's the thing. He was 7 of 8 from downtown. He was 11 of 20 overall. That means he was only 4 of 12 inside the arc. That's not usually what you want. Mitchell Robinson. So I'm sure we're going to have a lot of comments about Tibbs' decision, which is why I'm going to get to the Super Chat very soon. You know, Mitchell Robinson is going to be the death of me. He's been a guy that we have touted and pumped up and glorified and banked on and just everything. Almost since the day he put on a Knick uniform. He has, at various points in time over the last 4 years, looked like the Knicks' most talented player. He has looked like their best asset. He has looked like a guy who, at one point, we were like, oh, like he'll never accept the most money that you could offer him for this extension because he's clearly going to get so much more than that. You know, and then there mixed in with all that are times where he is just a maddening player. And you don't know whether to blame it on, you know, health or whatever else or any of this stuff. And it all goes into the pot. And at the end of the day, Mitch is what he is. And what Mitch is a guy who is certainly as talented as any center, almost any center in the NBA. But he is a guy that when he's right, when he's going well, when he's feeling it, there are, I don't know that there's anybody on this roster with one or two exceptions that can make an impact on a game like he can. He could take over a game even by barely scoring 10 points, and he scored 11 points tonight. Again, shout out to Prize Picks and my assertion that I thought the over on Mitch 5.5 points was a good one. Or whatever I said, 5.5 rebounds, 5.5 something. He went over both. He was the difference in the game tonight. Again, game to game, plus minus is kind of useless, but I would imagine he was the best plus. Yeah, him and Quickly were plus 13. You know, other players played well. I think, again, it's not an accident that the Knicks won a game in which multiple players played well. I thought, you know, Derrick Rose had a nice game. I know he didn't shoot well. I thought Derrick Rose, you know, played well. I thought, again, Quickly didn't shoot well. I thought Quickly played well. Toppin had his moments as he always does. And last but not least, the last thing I'm going to say, and we'll talk more about the guys who had great games moving forward. But like, you know, speaking of guys who are going to be the death of me, Julius Randle. Here's the thing. I'm not going to go crazy about Julius Randle tonight because one, you know, his stat line was what, 5 of 12 for 15 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. He's had stat lines like this before. I thought he played within himself. And I thought he let the other guys who were having good nights have good nights. And he, instead of interrupting that flow, I thought he amplified it. And I thought, I have to go back and watch all of his assists, but I thought by and large, the assists that he had were like real assists. And they were, you know, of the sort that he earned them. And they actually, apologies as I get get myself sorted out here because my USB connection is acting up. You know, he had a really good game. But here's the thing, and this is why I'm not going to go crazy about Julius Randle tonight. If you are the best player on a basketball team and you were the highest paid player on a basketball team and you were the self-proclaimed leader of a basketball team, you know what you should do after you have, you know, a dud and a bad game and a game when it's very clear that you did not bring the right mentality? You should have a game like this. This is your job. And that's what he should do. And until, you know, that's why I'm a shout out to Cedric on Twitter, Cedric Shine. I'm not going to give Randle too many flowers until he brings some more consistency, because that's what you deserve from the best player on a team. Okay, let's get to the super chats. Andrew, make sure you're taking pictures in case, because I've been talking for a while. I hope some of these don't go away. Rich McLeod, does John have a henna tattoo on his hand? No, my daughter put a tattoo on my hand a few days ago. It still doesn't come off. It is unicorns and a heart lollipop, a flying heart, some rainbows. I don't know. Dad life. Robert Cross with our first comment. What's up, Robert? It's quite clear that Rowan Barrett Jr. is a friend of the KFS pod. Yeah, clearly. 53 wins. Celebrate with cutlets. I actually have some leftover skirt steak in the fridge that I'm going to dip into. But, hey, 53 wins, alive and well. And, look, RJ Barrett deserved to be called out by Tibbs, by me, by anyone. I'm just happy he responded the way he did. Good first comment. Lunas Emirat. I feel everyone's been trying to think of the best adjustment to the team when it's just been RJ needing to be RJ. He told the haters to touch some grass. I actually know what that means now. Thank you, Lunas, for explaining it to me. Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. I don't think we can. One thing that I'm not going to be okay with is anybody who's be like, oh, RJ, you know, told all those people who said critical things of him that, you know, they were crazy. Look, RJ's been bad. He's been a bad shooter and a good defender, an okay defender. But he's been the worst high-volume shooter in the league, not for three games or five games. Or like, he's been this way for, like, two-thirds of the season, more than two-thirds of the season, actually, if we're doing the math properly. He's earned the criticism. I think, personally, I disagree with anybody who said, like, oh, you know, RJ's done, trade RJ, whatever. That, anybody who's saying that, it's different. But, like, he deserved the criticism because he's been bad. I'm glad he responded in the way he did. Jeremy Chase, the reports of RJ's death were greatly exaggerated. Love to see the kid get back to it. Kudos to Mitch and Julius for killer games, too. Go Knicks. Love the shout out to Mitch and Julius. Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't think RJ, this is a one-off. I think he just needed to see the ball and go in the basket. I think he did that, and I think he's going to be fine moving forward. I haven't really been worried about RJ. I've been worried about if RJ stays in the slump for too long, you know, and again, does he rely on his own, you know, thoughts about greatness where he's not putting in the work or whatever? Like, that's what worried me a little bit. I figured he would come out of it, though. I just didn't know how long it would take. I certainly didn't think it was going to be tonight. Tibbs is apparently feeling fairly sarcastic in the post-game presser. He was asked what Mitchell Robinson's response was when he told him he was going to the bench. Tibbs says, cartwheels. Good stuff. Kevin Danishevsky. What's going on, Kev? Good to see you. Just want to shout out Emmanuel Quigley tonight. Yes, good shout out. You said at the beginning of the season that if his shot isn't going in, he doesn't have an impact. Complete 180 now. And, yes, that's obviously been the case all season long, which is why even when Emmanuel Quigley couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, had a worse shooting slump than RJ Barrett has had to start the season, he was still a positive for the Knicks. And the plus-minus showed that over a good sample size, even when he wasn't hitting shots. Completely has changed his game. Defensively, always in the passing lanes. Can find different ways to score, never gets rattled. Did he have a turnover tonight? I feel like he probably had one just because most players have a turnover somewhere along the way. He had no turnovers. So there you go. I thought he really played within himself tonight. Five rebounds, couple of assists. And, yeah, but again, any three from him is a good shot as far as I'm concerned. Bounce back W. Greg Moran, big bounce back dub. RJ and Mitch seem to like the heated seats. I like that one. That's a good one. Yeah. The only other thing I'll say about RJ, and I wrote today that I, if it were me, I would potentially really think about putting in Grimes for him in the starting lineup while still playing him, 30 minutes. Part of my rationale was because I thought the starting lineup could use an injection of energy. And we'll talk a little bit about more because this game wasn't perfect. I mean, they started off, I think they scored 13 points in the first like 10 minutes or 9 minutes or something. The defense I thought was good for the most part, but it had some stretches still. I still don't know that I love the starting five. I don't think RJ's coming out now. And look, we could talk about it now. Nerlens Noel was not good tonight. He had 9 rebounds. He had a block, finished with 2 points, played 26 minutes. He doesn't look right. I agree, and I said this on the pregame, that the theoretical version of Noel on defense is a boon to this team for where they are at right now. But to me, moving Mitch into the backup unit was more about getting Mitch going and playing him with, first of all, Derrick Rose, who Derrick Rose penetrates still as well as any player in the NBA, and letting Mitch had how many offensive rebounds tonight? He had 7 in the first half. I'm assuming he had 8 for the game. Letting him play off of Rose's drives. And also that second unit plays with a lot more energy. And I think they're, they get in passing lanes, they're more active on the perimeter. I think that Mitch not being able to move as well works better with the second unit than the first. And the first unit just was lacking energy. Did Noel give them a little bit of energy? Maybe. I don't know. He had a couple of moments. He wasn't great. He's moving better than Mitch, but that's not saying much. I probably would have gone Taj or Obi. Obviously, I would love to see Obi in the starting five with Randall and just say to hell with it. But that being said, this team and this organization, we hope, has bigger picture aspirations. And the one thing that if you stick Nerlens Noel on the bench and you put him in mothballs, and he goes away and you don't play him in the rotation at all, well, guess what? Then you can't really trade Nerlens Noel. As of right now, I think you could still probably move the contract. I don't think it's a bad contract. I think people would be fine with the contract as a piece for another trade or in a bigger trade. So look, let's judge it, after a few weeks or whatever. Manny Ortiz, we lost to the Magic twice. We're not above any win. No, we're not above any win. Good comment. Luffy, can Andrew bet the under for RJ points every game? I think I'm going to make him at this point because, Jesus. Andrew, you're the good luck charm we needed. Thank you for your service. Harry Donor, thank you for the contribution. We appreciate it. And, yes, shout out to Prize Picks. Sean Ford, feel like RJ hitting threes was the missing ingredient on offense. Seems like Tibbs got through to him. Keep it up, RJ. Now go get Miles and a W in Indy. It's really tough to win when the guy who's your corner three outlet isn't making corner threes. And I know they did some other stuff tonight. I think RJ saw the ball more early, getting him in the spots and that he feels most comfortable in. I think that's important too. But it's really hard to win games when your starting wing isn't making shots. And they won tonight, by the way, despite the fact that Alec Burks and Evan Fournier combined to shoot 4 of 14 from deep, which is, Fournier going 1 for 6, not ideal. Shout out Julius Randle, 3 of 5 from deep too. And Derrick Rose, 2 of 2. As for Miles Turner, I'll have a bit on this in the newsletter tomorrow, so I don't want to spoil it. And I also know Jeremy Cohen has some big plan for the weekend. So I'm really not going to talk about Miles that much. What I will say is, would Miles Turner look really good in the starting lineup of this team with Mitchell Robinson coming off the bench? Absolutely. Do I think they could get Miles Turner? Yes. Do I think they should get Miles Turner if the price is right? 100%. Do I think the price will be right? I'm not so sure. I'm not giving up one of the good young players on this team. Not that I necessarily think that's what Indy would even want. I think it would come down to picks. I think Indiana would want one good pick for Miles Turner. And I'm not giving up a future unprotected first. If that's what it's going to take to get Turner, and it's either I keep all my unprotected firsts or I don't have Turner, I'm going to say, fuck it, I don't want Turner. Because Turner's not materially altering the Knicks' ceiling, you know, this season or next season or anything. He's a really good player. He's a top borderline top 10 center, probably a top 10 center, certainly a top 5 defensive center. He's really good. His efficiency this year is the best it's ever been in his career. He is lighting the world on fire from inside the arc, to say nothing of the fact that he's almost a 40% shooter from behind the arc. He's a good player. I don't think there's going to be as much competition for his services with him on the block as maybe some people might think. But again, the price has to be right. I'm not starting to empty my draft cupboard for him.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Next up, Kevin Danishevsky, back for more. Also, IQ should be starting over Fournier at this point. IQ deserves it. Tibbs is clearly more comfortable there. Fournier may still be good off the bench. So here's the thing, and I think this is like whenever we have these conversations about starting versus off the bench and this and that, Evan Fournier played 21 minutes tonight. Emmanuel Quickley played 26 minutes tonight. Emmanuel Quickley came off the bench. Evan Fournier starting. What is more important? Is it more important who starts or is it more important who finishes? Now, I obviously know the retort to that, which is like, just because you start doesn't mean you can't finish as well. And Tibbs likes to play his guys, and we get that. I'm here for that. And Fournier was not good tonight. He was the other player that stood out to me. He had some notable gaffes, but there were also – Tom Piccolo tweeted out a video of a missed San Antonio three that was wide open because Fournier and Burks like miscommunicated. Was that Burks? Was that Fournier? We don't really know. But Fournier, you know, here's the thing about Fournier. If he's not making shots, he's not helping you win games. And I understand he had the four steals in the Bulls game. I thought he was good on defense. He's had good moments on defense. It's not consistent. He's never been a consistently strong defender in his career. He's okay. He's fine. You know, he's not really a playmaker. He doesn't like he could drive and kick and the whole thing, but you know, I think the best thing that Evan Fournier is going to be moving forward is salary and a trade. For right now, though, you know, if he becomes this team's Elfrid Payton, is that the worst thing in the world? You know, a guy who, like, you're looking forward to the bench coming in for. He obviously is a much far superior offensive player to Elfrid Payton. It's just tough because he doesn't really help set the tone on defense. I hear that. I'm going to stick with my guns here. I love Quickly off the bench. I love Quickly off the bench. I love Quickly with Rose. I love the bench unit. I love the bench five with RJ and Rose and Quickly and Mitch and Obi. That was fun. That was fucking awesome. And I just feel like Quickly is a guy who is I'm going to go back to the comp again. I think the ceiling is Jason Terry. I love that comp. And not just because I came up with it. You know, but that being said, you know, Fournier, as he's frustrating, and I don't blame you for wanting to put him on the bench. Daniel Chang, Tibbs with the Zen Master Media Move and unlocked RJ. Leon and World Wide West unlocking Mitch with the Turner trade rumors. Chestnut checkers. I don't even think there's actually been any trade rumors, but good, you know, I mean, sure. Jeremy E., please earmark all my future super chats for Andrew betting the under on RJ for points. Yes, all of the super chat money is going to go to Andrew to reimburse him for the money he spends taking RJ under on the points. JD with a comment question in the regular chat. What would a Brogdon plus Turner trade to the Knicks even look like? Wouldn't look like anything because Malcolm Brogdon can't be traded until the offseason. Malcolm Brogdon signed an extension this past summer. He cannot be traded this year. So it's not going to look like anything. I like Brogdon. I think they will trade Brogdon this summer. I think they signed with that extension because they felt that the money was good and they wanted to get him on a fair deal, a good tradable deal. So, I wouldn't rule out Turner being combined with some other money. I don't think the Knicks have any interest in LeVert, nor should they. But maybe a smaller salary. I mean, the Pacers want Evan Fournier, which I frankly don't know why they would, if they're rebuilding, especially. The Knicks are going to have to cobble together a couple salaries, and so there's going to have to be another player in the deal. But yeah, not Brogdon time until the offseason. Chad Cohen, RJ's two best games come in front of his two best friends from school in Zion and Trey Jones. How you doing, Chad Cohen? Good comment. Maybe we could play them all the time. I love it. Thank you, O. Richardson, for the super chat. My Long Island friend, my buddy, Barry Dworkin. First time, long time. First stress-free game of the season. Oh, my God, it is. Well, no, the Magic game, don't forget, we had that whole bitch and moan about Julius Randle being in late with the flagrant foul, so that wasn't stress-free. And then the Philly game, I know they were up by at least whatever it was, 12 or 14 points the whole second half, but that game never felt really, like, solid. This game, you felt like they were going to win most of the second half, which kudos to them. We need more games like this in our lives. Great effort on both ends of the court. Yeah. They needed a win. It doesn't matter how the fuck they got the win. They needed the win. And I do think it's a sign of their character because, again, look at what's going on in Portland, and obviously they have injuries. Trying to think where else. Who else is tanking? Indiana. Yeah, so the Knicks didn't let go of the rope. Overratedness. By the way, I see King DJ. Mac, what's up? What's up, King DJ? Overratedness. If Tibbs ever calls out Randle for his lazy defense this year, we might win the championship. I don't know if calling out Randle's the move, but if he could get through to Randle, I thought his defense was good tonight. I got to go back and watch the tape, but I thought the defense looked fine. Hush Zoo, after that atrocious article on Dame wanting an insane amount of money for his extension. Again, for anybody who missed it, Dame, according to Woj, who, by the way, Dame fired back at the article. Look at Dame's Twitter for anybody who hasn't. interesting tweet, basically acknowledging that Neil O'Shea, the recently departed president of basketball for the Trailblazers, fed Woj all this stuff, and as a way to kind of light the Blazers organization on fire. I don't know why I got into that. In any case, so the article basically said that everything Dame's been doing, all of the, you know, I'm a Blazer for life, this, that, and the other nonsense, it's all been about getting this money. $107 million contract extension, 2-year extension onto his current deal, which would then take effect when he's like 35 and 36 years old. Pretty powerful article. Anyway, RJ for Dame talk should be a crime. Although his percentages are down, Beasley for Fournier. I'm not giving up on Fournier, but what's your thoughts? I don't watch enough Wolves ball to have a real good opinion on Malik Beasley. I know he's a talented scorer. They've done really well with him coming off the bench this year. I don't know that I want any part of Malik Beasley. Listen, don't give up on Fournier yet. Here's the issue with Fournier. I don't know how well Fournier, if you're on one tonight, Andrew. I don't know how well Fournier mixes in with what the Knicks do. You know, they tried to basically rejigger the formula that worked. And I spoke about this with Tom Piccolo the other night, on the recent pod, about how, like, I'm starting to wonder if the Knicks had a formula last year that, like, you can't take out 10% of this and put in 10% of that, or 20% of this and put in 20% of that. I wonder if it was just so special that if you try to fuck with it, it's just going to fall apart. And I think what we're seeing now in the moments that have looked good and looked right, is like, this team's going to win playing a certain way. And although at the same time, like, you know, they have looked much better at moments not playing. Like, they didn't play off of Randall tonight. Randall was a key component to what they did. But what I do think is key is, like, you watch Quickly play, and you watch Rose play, and you watch Birch play, and you watch RJ play. You watch all these guys, even, like, you know, I hate to say, you watch Peyton play. And, like, Peyton ran around like a chicken with his fucking head cut off sometimes, but he ran. He was at it. And, like, Fournier just kind of sometimes has a different way of going about his business on the court, and that's not the way that last year's Knicks did things. Does it mean he can't fit? I don't know that for sure yet. It's still relatively early. But there's a reason. I will maintain. I think his salary is going to be used in a trade. They're going to have a hard time trading him. I think he's still a good player, and I think he's fairly paid for what he is. Agree. Don't put RJ on the table. The Dame stuff is fucking frightening to me, quite frankly. G Beers. Julius is a great player, but the best version of this team is when our three overall is our number one scorer. Good leadership from both. RJ needs to score 24 points a game. Wow. I loved what Julius did tonight. What did he take? 9 shots, I think. Wasn't a lot of shots, whatever it was. And really just concentrate. Took 12 shots, so a bunch of them must have been late, because I looked towards the end of the game and it was only 9. But here's the thing, Julius's threes were huge. Like, the game was getting testy there in the third quarter. Julius hit back-to-back threes. I thought they were arguably the biggest shots of the game. You know, really, really good stuff by him. I agree. The team looks a lot better when the ball doesn't stop in Julius's hands. We're all in agreement of that. Nobody disagrees with that. You know, it's just I would like for him to let go of the rope a little bit. I don't know about RJ scoring 24 a game and, like, the offense doesn't go through Julius, you know, I think it will have to go through Julius at times. It helped. They were hitting a bunch of threes tonight. But I think we're headed in the right direction. And Julius, if he's winning, I hope he'll be fine with that. Overratedness. Can we acknowledge Clyde getting excited from the Knicks ball movement and saying to Buescher, to Bradley, to Frazier, the most wholesome moment of the night? It was the most genuine moment that I thought Clyde has had in years. Other than when he says something funny about like his, you know, not wanting, he wouldn't get technicals today because he's cheap or whatever. Like, that was my favorite Clyde moment that I could remember in a long time. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that. Great outfit, by the way. Ben L, great win tonight. Everything isn't solved. Correct. But good to see us bounce back. Randall looked way more confident on some of those late game fallaway jumpers when compared with earlier this year. Great sign. Yeah, I mean, every bucket he hit was really big. He only had five shots. They were all huge. In terms of like everything not being solved tonight, I completely agree with you. Everything was not solved tonight. But I just wonder, like, I don't want to leave tonight being like, well, they hit shots, so they won. And like RJ hit shots, so he won. And like they moved Mitch to the bench and Mitch looked better, so they won. Like, I always try to take a little bit more from wins. I do think coming off of the Nuggets game, to come out with this performance, you know, I'm not going to say that they were, you know, anything crazy on D. I think we've seen them at times on defense look otherworldly. I don't know about this year, not much this year. But they were better. They were competent. They were solid. And I do think the offense looked good. I do think the offense played with a purpose. I thought they moved the ball pretty well. They're never going to get a lot of assists, but I thought they played with confidence. They responded well. That's what you want to take from this. They responded well. They were down in the dumps as the team has been since Thibodeau took over, and they responded well. So, you know, hope it continues. CT Pittman, my main man, the Patriots say. Knicks play hard for four quarters, and Macri is out of detention. Yes. Man, I don't like being in detention. I like going home. I like going home at the end of the school day. So no detention for me. All is right in the world. Andrew just texted me. Someone in the chat just compared Fournier to Hedo Turkoglu, and now I can't unsee it. Hedo created more, but it's a good comp. Hedo Turkoglu, man. Hedo Turkoglu, I don't want to go on a rant here. Hedo Turkoglu was damn good. And, like, he obviously a key role on the Kings team, who was probably the best team in the league. He was one of the four or five best players on that team. Key role on that Magic team, allowing them to play kind of, again, all the little the 2012-13 Knicks often get credit for, like, starting to revolutionize basketball before the Warriors came along. Well, those Magic teams – in part because of Turkoglu's ability to hit the three ball. You know, we're even before that. I'm going off on a tangent. I think Turkoglu's a better player. Not a terrible comp. What else we got here? Keep it going. Renzo Souza. Randall needs to let the point guard be the point guard. Not a bad comp. Oh, seven seconds or less, Suns. That was a pretty good one. Thank you, Andrew. Randall needing to let the point guard be the point guard. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we like him when he plays with Rose, and I think that was part of the thinking of him playing with Burks. I think, like, here's the thing. Burks isn't a point guard. We know this. He had a few moments, he has a few moments every game where you remember he's not a point guard. But he allows Thibodeau to keep Rose in the backup as the backup point guard and in the second five. And again, we always go back to this. It's for Tibbs, it really is about – who finishes more than who starts, and having certain guys available in certain lineup complexions. And look, I'm obviously Thibodeau defender, the whole thing. I go to bat for the man constantly, more than any person probably should. But he came here and he did something that none of the other coaches since Jeff Van Gundy have been able to do. And for all of our bitching and moaning and everything this year, the team is 12-12 after 24 games. And this is a team that had an over-under in Vegas before the season of 41.5. They have played, you know, they have a dead even net rating probably, I think, after tonight. They have played slightly below the expectations for most people around the league, to say nothing, obviously, of Knicks fans who have always have high expectations. But, like, I think Tibbs knows what he's doing. Funny in the chat here. Inez Freedom is definitely going to box Hedo Turkoglu within the next few years. And I will pay, and I know you will pay too, Funny, a goodly sum of money to see that boxing match. Hoon Song, the Admiral, waited for RJ's interview to finish and dapped him up. I like that. Game recognized game. We back. Knicks fans were in the building tonight. Yeah, I'm sure they were. Saw some jerseys. I also saw a comment. King Deej, Mac, I got love for you, but this game, a Kool-Aid game. Yeah, I mean, you know, a little bit. It's a little bit of a Kool-Aid game, but at the same time, they've won all season long when they've shot well. And they're a team that's capable of shooting well. So I do think, to some extent, RJ's just been off. But to some extent, their shooting goes hand in hand with how they play on offense. I'm not disagreeing with you. I do think it was a little bit of a Kool-Aid game. But, like, I think there's maybe a little bit more to it than that. A little bit. Haitian Ferg, what's going on, man? Say what you want, but RJ clearly got his ass in the gym and the organization clearly backs Tibbs. Accountability is key for us to return to form. Well, I will say this. Yes, Anthony Sixto, Kool-Aid is delicious. I do think the organization backs Tibbs. I think Tibbs, more than any player on the roster, is the key central figure. And you know, maybe I've watched too many coaches come through the revolving door. Maybe this is part of why I defend Tibbs so much. I'm happy with that. I like accountability. Because if you don't have accountability, you don't have a basketball team. So, yeah. And then in terms of RJ, clearly the guy's ass back in the gym. I mean, who knows? Maybe. That'd be pretty cool if he went back in the gym after that Denver game. But, yeah, accountability is key for us to return to form. Completely agree. Great comment. Anthony Sixto again, love our second unit. How sustainable is their style of game come playoffs when things become much more of a slower half-court game? That's a really good question, Anthony. One, I hope we make the playoffs. Two, I do think, you know, we saw Derrick Rose against Atlanta last year. Like, Derrick Rose was certainly still effective. I thought Obi Toppin had some moments. Quickly had some moments. I think, you know, here's the thing. If the second unit was all based on transition, I'd be more dubious. It's not based all on transition. Like, yes, they play fast, and yes, Obi leaks out and all of those things. The second unit, you know, Obi didn't leak out for anything tonight. They had a couple of transition opportunities that they blew. It's a good point, good question. I think it's just the energy they play with. I think it'll be maybe less of a different, like, they're not, you know, their second unit net ratings are fucking insane. It's not going to be that in the playoffs if they get there, but I think it'll still be a plus for sure. This team needs to figure out its starters. Kevin Danishevsky, always coming back for more. I love you, Kev. Would you rather get Turner for EH? I think you meant EF. Or Cat for the farm. Oh, my God. I got to take a drink. Man, this is basically asking me what I think about Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not sure I want to give up the farm for Cat. Not sure. I might. Turner for eh. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't really change. I think I'd rather get Turner for not much and see where that takes me. And then kick the can on Cat down the road. Good question. Nick Kakalovsky, would Evan and Noel for Wiggins work? Evan's making 17 this year, 17 and change. Noel's making 9, although now with the bonuses that didn't come through. No, it's still 9. So the money would work. The money would work, barely, I think. But why are we even talking about this? The Warriors would never do that. I was like, why am I spending so much time on this? The Warriors aren't making that trade. Kevin, your Jeff Van Gundy comment is unfair to Woody. I don't know about that. Woody was a good, solid coach. I think Woody took advantage of the fact that at the end of the 2011-12 season, Melo went scorched earth because he was basically went on an FU tour in response to Linsanity. And then 2012-13, like, I think Woody let the guys on his team like do what they needed to do. And he was veteran laden. That was a veteran laden team. It was a great team. Had a lot of talent, and he put those talented guys in a position to win. But Woody inherited a roster that was expected to do things. Tibbs inherited a roster that was expected to do nothing. And so, yeah, I'm giving a lot more credit to Tibbs than Woody. No offense. I think Woody's certainly without question been the second best coach since Jeff Van Gundy. And I think he's closer to Tibbs than he is to everybody else. But I think I have Tibbs a little bit higher there. Jason M, would you do a top five protected first for Turner? God, no. I'm not even sure. Just saw your comment, Andrew. I'm not even sure I would do a top 10. I don't think I'd do a top 10 protected first for Turner. I think I would probably draw the line at a lottery protected first that converted to 2 seconds and either the Hornets pick or the Mavs pick. So like on paper, the Pacers would be getting 2 first-round picks. In reality, they'd be getting either a top 10 protected pick or a pick that's, I think the Hornets protection also tops out at lottery protection. So whatever, they'd be getting a pick in the teens. And then the next pick, I would give them this year's upcoming pick. I would do it lottery protected. Would I fuck around and get cute with like, you know, top 12 or top 10? Like, I don't know. How much were we all screaming about Chris Duarte? Like, Quentin Grimes might be a good player, but like, boy, Chris Duarte would look good on this team. And Chris Duarte was whatever he was, the 13th pick in the draft. Like, sometimes those back-end lottery guys are guys you really want. And it's just like, I'm not giving up the chance to draft a guy that I really like for a Miles Turner move that's probably not even going to win me a playoff series. Might make the difference between a home playoff play-in game versus a road play-in game, or maybe even a playoff spot versus a play-in game. Maybe. I'm not giving up too much for that guy. All right, I think that's it. Andrew, let me know if I forgot anything. I just saw Mark Berman's tweet. Tom Thibodeau downright giddy after this one. I thought great energy, great effort. The focus was much better. It was the unselfishness on both sides of the ball. Love it. Love you, Tibbs. You're the man. Jaden Darcy, and then I'll get to the pinned. Let me get the pinned chat. Tonight was a season-changing night for our Knicks. This is from NY Bmore. RJ said something last game about knowing where his shots are now. He did. Checking in from Cairns, Australia. Got up at 4 a.m. to watch them lay an egg against Denver. God bless you, Jaden. Good to see them bounce back. I liked Julius's game today. Great comment. Good way to end it. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to say. No, I think we're good. I really appreciate everybody in the chat, everybody in the super chat tonight. Jaden Darcy, you are the MVP, getting up at 4 a.m. to watch that fucking Denver game. I want to go to Australia one day. Australia is one place that I've never been and I'd love to go. Good team win tonight. Necessary win. Maybe we look back on it as a season-saving win. I think tomorrow, you know, back-to-back, going from Texas to Indianapolis, like, do they have to win that game? No, they don't have to win that game. But, you know, show up, give your effort, and then we'll come back and talk about it tomorrow night. Until then, everybody have a great day, and we will talk to you soon. Peace out.